Welcome back, friends. John Paul will note, I think it was a letter to a conference with psychologists and mental health experts. Okay, so he says this. Depression is always a spiritual, is always. If he's anything, he's a careful theologian. May not always agree with his conclusions, but he's careful. And we've noted often when careful theologians use words like always, never, that's important. So he says, depression is always a spiritual trial, often accompanied by an existential and spiritual crisis. As always, it is, so that's what Sarah said, it's not just always going to be about the body or just about the soul, the spiritual state, it is both. And it's wise to have a spiritual director who's familiar with psychology and a psychologist who is familiar with the spiritual trials. And the difference that strikes me between depression and the dark night of the soul is hope. Both simple human hope and theological. Because grace builds on nature. And if simple hope, that would be the nature, is gone, then so too will be the theological virtue, which would be hope in the goodness of God and love of the Lord, which then builds up our trust and faith, the second, and that leads to charity, right? Remember back with Hardin, that concerned for the other. We aren't going to be concerned with the other if we ourselves are, or fallen apart in a full sense. So there are some examples. We noted Brother Lawrence. He was in a dark night of soul for 10 years. And I know, and one last thing, and then we're moving on to the examples. I know we did short shrift of this book. It is really, if you're suffering from it or you have a loved one who's suffering from it, this is just a gem of a little resource. Easy to read. So Sophia Press puts it out. I have that in the footnotes. So please avail yourself. Okay.
And I think that it's such a an important point to note to people, right? That it really is only Catholic psychology, because she is imbued with the supernatural gifts of our Lord. It really is only Catholic psychology that is going to remain effective in these particularly trying times. The problem is that you have to be very, very conscientious of who is marketing the Catholic psychology, right? I mean, there are some who have unknowingly to themselves have become less Catholic, shall we say. I mean, they think that they're proposing things, you know, some who will want you to just, you know, go to Mass more often and just, you know, you don't need all this other stuff. Or, you know, so you've got the people who are hyper on the spiritual side. That's all spiritual oppression. It's all spiritual oppression. But then you have the others who are, it's all physical. It's all physical. If we can just get you corrected. So, you know, God bless anyone who's walking that narrow road. Right.
And I mean, believe you me, it is narrow. It is very, very narrow. I've seen, so just, I'll give two different religious communities, and they both seem like, you know, for a number of years, I was close to both of them. And this one community had actual mission work, apostolate work in healthcare. I mean,
right.
A number of properties and this, that, and the other. But when their own members became depressed, I can use depression here because that's what one of the members had suffered greatly under the COVID regime, the lockdown regime, the isolation, it was just brutal.
Right.
It was particularly brutal in this particular community, and the members suffered. And you would have thought they would have been right there first. No, they're right there first. We put a smile on for Christ. We suffer all things for Christ. And there was always a smile. I offer it all up for Jesus. no attending to the human person until 20 years pass, and we have some broken people.
Right. There's that's not a panacea. I mean, for somebody, and just to make sure that we make this point, there is a very big difference between a physiological depression and spiritual oppression. And you cannot heal physiological depression by putting a smile on your face and doing these things for Jesus. So, you know, that we have to make sure that no one should ever equate a dark night of the soul with depression. They're nothing at all alike. God, we have to remember that the dark night of the soul is given to people, particularly people of high moral rectitude, right? In a state of grace, who are striving to live what God wants them to live, specifically because God is calling them to a far deeper relationship with him. And he is removing from them all consolation of exterior gifts because he wants to make sure that the soul understands that God is not his gifts. He is a person beyond that. And so he permits a soul in a state of grace to move forward in this. And that's why it has to be really like the person going through a dark night of the soul should be under the guidance of a really good spiritual director who understands the difference between physiological depression, right? That's going to have manifestations within the brain, right? And a dark night of the soul, which is purely spiritual. I mean, there can be elements that, you know, depression might lead a person with a depressive tendency, through their depressive tendencies might be led into more pervasive dark nights of the soul, longer periods of dark nights of the soul. And for a person who's in something like that, yes, you would need to treat both body and soul, right? Because Satan is very good at mimicking, right? He's a mimic. He can't do anything. He's not creative. He can't think of anything new. He can only parrot and ape. That's what he does. So, but to make sure, I want to make sure that anybody who's listening to this, who is suffering from a natural body or a natural brain depression, we're, this is not directed at you per se. We're not saying put on a happy face and get over it. No. But what we are saying is, in that darkness, you must, and this might be really particularly the reason why it is so advocated for a person who is depressed to make sure that they are making complete uses of all of the graces that are available to them in the church, making sure that they're confessing their sins, making sure that they're attending Mass, making sure that they're receiving the Blessed Sacrament in the Eucharist. Why? Because those are the means to the supernatural gifts of faith, hope, and charity. So that when you don't feel natural hope, you can tell Satan, I know that my Redeemer lives. Because then your body will do what your body does, but he cannot persecute your soul when you are in that state of grace. So to a person who's there, it's not curative. It could be, but it's not necessarily curative. But it is the absolute indicator that you are in a state of grace and that you are receiving from God all of the supernatural graces that are necessary to assist you when natural ability fails.
That's right. And the other community I saw where the founder has, it's not his training. His training was not in psychology. It was another field. But through his own personal walk, when his community would face these spiritual trials, he would absolutely see to it that a therapist or psychologist is brought in, vetted with the spiritual background that Sarah's eloquently told us, and the joy is palatable. There's no needing to paste any sort of smile over a backdrop of misery, because the community itself is healthy. It's healthy spiritually and it's healthy in a psychological way. All right, friends, let's pick up. We keep talking about John of the Cross, and we still haven't gotten to him, and he has quite the story.
Yeah, it does, yeah.